Welcome to Paulton Power, Power Systems Design's podcast on power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got Hoos Daza. He's the Vice President of Marketing for Anagyr. They specialize in low-power systems and, of course, the devices that support low-power systems. So, hi, Hoos. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Alex, for this for inviting me for this podcast.
Well, there are a lot of things going on. There really are a lot of things going on in this industry, and one of them is low power. And we're not just talking about things like vampire power and standby and consumer devices or stuff like that, right?
No, that's correct. We're basically focusing on ultra-low power for extending battery life in applications or even enabling the possibility to use alternative energy sources such as, for instance, an indoor PV panel or other kind of harvesters.
So you not just a device like a meter in a remote location that would have to operate for a long time or a bunch of sensors in a location, but actually devices designed from the ground up to be run on harvested or residual or whatever type of power is available.
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, we see more and more a need, I mean, for alternative energy sources where people would like to have an install and forget kind of approach for their appliances, for their devices, devices that are found in remote metering, as you said, but also very much in areas like smart building, home automation, healthcare, security, those kind of applications. A lot of them are basically driven by wireless sensor networks.
And what about things like, I've seen things like light switches that with microgenerators inside to capture the energy of switching on the light switch to give enough power to drive an RF signal to then the remote lamp so you can upgrade a facility without wiring, things of that nature, right?
Yep. Yes, that's correct. That's one device that uses an alternative energy source, which is basically this kind of a coil mechanism to generate some energy, just enough to send a datagram off. That is not typically the approach we take. We're looking at more wireless sensor nodes with different sensors to measure environmental conditions, things like, for instance, temperature in HVAC systems, maybe CO2, maybe humidity, or other things in security systems, and then determine on the basis of the measurement signal whether or not to make a datagram to a central station.
So we're not actually necessarily talking about things that are remote in location. They could just be difficult to access within a more complex system.
Yes. I mean, people even talk about, and this is still maybe a future kind of application, but people talk about having these kind of wireless sensor networks as long as you have an install and forget kind of approach and measure construction, maintenance of constructions, and basically have them sitting inside the concrete of a building, perhaps even.
Well, actually, that sounds fascinating. I mean, considering how much sensors and a sensor web can enhance the operation, when you think of every application space from downhole to in the air, sensors and the ability to integrate that information. So if you could do an install and forget on your sensors, that would be fantastic.
That is correct. But what you need there is ultra-low power management in order to extend either the battery life or enable an alternative energy source.
Mm-hmm. So what are the challenges to the engineer?
Basically, I mean, the approaches that that people take today in the traditional wireless sensor networks is use some sort of ultra-low power microcontroller with a radio circuit and sensors attached to it. But the whole power management organization around these devices mean that you have a bunch of a couple of DC-DC converters, maybe some LDOs. If you use energy harvesting, you have a boost converter and some sort of charger for a secondary battery. That is the traditional approach that people take today, and which is very much also driven by microcontroller manufacturers, of course. But if you look at it, this kind of approach, and typically here also Moore's Law comes in play, I guess, especially in the digital area where the silicon geometries are becoming smaller and smaller. Microcontrollers in the sub 100 nanometer technologies suffer from leakage currents, which is inherent with this kind of dense technologies, and that means that the standby current of these devices is still something that is not that you cannot ignore. And I mean, this traditional system, typically in a sleep mode, even if you have very clever devices and state-of-the-art technology, somewhere draws between 3.5 to 4 microamps in total on standby current and quiescent current for the DC-DC converters and the LDOs. That we can improve much, much better with an approach that that Anagyr is taking with our smart power management controllers, where we basically switch off everything that is not needed in sleep. That means that the only device that actually draws current is our own power management controller, and we control that that current very well. Our current devices basically draw less than 600 nanoamp in standby at 16 kilohertz, so that's more than 6 times improvement over traditional wireless sensor networks today.
So what kind of timing mechanism are you using? Are you using silicon oscillators or something along those lines?
That is correct. Yes, we have a very accurate, precise silicon oscillator on the devices, which is basically compensated for drift and for temperature drifts as well. The on-chip silicon oscillator has an accuracy of less than 50 ppm, and that is the clock source for the engines that we have on board to basically keep the timing for the duty cycle between active and sleep modes, and to drive the sequences inside our device that actually switch on and off different power domains that we have. Correct.
So now, considering all of this, you obviously have got ways to help the engineer. You've got reference designs, I gather, engineers standing by, development kits, things of that nature. What have you got that you wanted to talk about that you'd like to tell the engineering community about?
Yeah, basically, we're in the process right now. The devices have only been recently been introduced into the market, together with a development kit, and of course we can provide the necessary technical support, application engineering support as well to customers that want to play around with our development kit. The development kit itself is an excellent way to get familiar with our architecture, because it's somewhat different from the traditional wireless sensor network approach that I just mentioned, because the timing is now taken over by our device. And if you basically switch off a microcontroller and perhaps also the radio device during sleep, that means that you have to take over some critical functions from the microcontroller, things like a real-time clock, things like watchdog timers. The data retention memory is now part of our circuit, and that means that the whole architecture becomes a little bit different and has some implications for the embedded software as well. And in order to get a good understanding, the development kit is an excellent tool to basically speed up your designs.
So what's in this kit exactly? You don't have to be exact, but you know what I mean. What's in the kit? You have to tell me how many feet of cable.
It comes with an evaluation board, typically, that has lots of measurement posts. So on the board there is our power management device with the built-in energy harvester. The kit also has a small indoor solar panel that's in the kit, so you can basically use the energy harvester and generate energy from an alternative source if you want to. And it has a very simple processor board that sits underneath. It has a nice user interface into a Windows PC and with a user-friendly representation on the PC. You can basically see the different registers, play around with the settings, change the parameters, and immediately measure the effect of these different parameters on the evaluation kit itself.
So how do the engineers get their hands on this thing? I gather they can go to your site, right?
That is right. Yes, I mean being still a young company, we are in the process of building up our sales channels, but we're still in the very early days. So the best would be if people really want to have a kit at this moment in time to go to our website, which is www.anagear.com, and in the sales section or support section, you'll find the instructions how to order a development kit.
Right. So that's E-N-E. R G E R
A N A G E A R
A N A.
Correct. I'm not here.
There you go. Excellent. Is there anything else you'd like to leave our audience with?
No, I guess. I mean, this is well. I mean, there's a lot to be said about our product, but again, on the website there is a technical page where you'll find an explanation on the way we actually the concept we use to achieve a ultra low power consumption and save energy. It's not just switching off the components. That's part of it, but we also do things like voltage scaling and we eliminate cycles from the microcontroller by having an autonomous monitoring mode in the device, in the power management device, to measure system critical parameters and do a comparison against an upper and a lower limit in order to determine whether or not there is a critical situation and whether we should wake up the microcontroller to send an alarm message out. So these three concepts basically are the basics for the power savings for achieving the power saving in our smart power management controllers, and that's all explained on the website. There's a lot of documentation that can be downloaded and requested, and if necessary, I mean, if people have other questions, they can always reach me as well.
Excellent. Well, Hugh, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with me today.
You're welcome, Alex. I appreciate your time and this interview. Thank you very much.
Oh, and we'll get you back another time. We'll chat some more about low power because it is an area that is pretty critical to today's engineering space.
That would be great. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Look forward to that.
Great. And I would also like to thank everyone out there for taking the time to listen to this podcast. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.